Okay, welcome back. Hour number three, and it's time to do our weekly update on the greatest calamity, the greatest catastrophe, the greatest disaster. It's an extinction-level event. Not necessarily 100%, but it is an extinction-level event. It is called Fukushima. It has so far surpassed Chernobyl's disaster dynamics that it's hard to wrap your mind around it. All I can do is ask you to keep looking at the top center column at rents.com. We're bringing in the most relevant material we can for 4 years now, and it continues to get worse. I'm not sure if we have Yoichi Shimatsu online yet. Yoichi, are you there yet? Not yet. We're trying to get him. He's on a number in Thailand, and let's hope that Mr. Dana Durnford is there, our special guest, who God knows where he is. Where are you?
Hi, Jeff. Yes, I'm back in Queen Charlotte City.
Well, all good for you.
Yeah. It's been a rough ride. Today was a very rough one. So boat motors went down on me today in rough waters.
Well, okay.
And plus, I had an interview with the local newspaper today, and I'll touch base on that one for a quick second. Hour and a half interview, and the reporter actually asked all the right questions the whole way through. So I don't know. This could be...
Was he on drugs of some kind?
No. I'd done a presentation. It was a her. I'd done a presentation for her. Very open-minded.
Yeah, yeah.
And they actually covered some Fukushima stuff here, but they kept referring to Jay Cullen in their literature.
Oh, please.
Yeah, and so I...
How did he worm his way in there to their consciousness?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? And nobody...
They must focus on those people and deluge them with his stuff because they're on the cutting edge, the front edge of the damage curve. They must.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. He has a lot of influence in the media throughout British Columbia. Apparently, he is the spokesperson for Canada. And Canada has 25 nuclear reactors, so I guess we don't have any nuclear scientists for them to refer to because he's a marine chemist. And he's actually wrote no papers whatsoever on Fukushima, and he wrote no papers on...
No, we know what he is. We know who he is. What's the name of the site that features him a lot? Do you remember? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Anyway.
Fukushima Informed.
Something like that.
Yeah, and Cullen's Lab is another one. I covered him in a video I put it yesterday.
Okay, spell his last name for us, Jay?
C-U-L-L-E-N.
All right, Jay Cullen. Just remember that name, and when you see that name, tread carefully. Well, or run, yes.
What he does is he keeps saying over and over, there's 600 times more natural radiation in a tuna than there is nucleoids from Japan. And so he implies that
the
natural ones are somehow equated with that. But also, he just keeps doing that the whole way through. The ocean has 1,000 times more natural radiation than the radiation from Fukushima. And so he says a lot of those over and over and over everywhere he goes. And that pattern now...
It starts to sink in, unfortunately.
It does. And so people don't know how to... And so this is the argument you have with people as they talk about the natural radiation. There's so much more, Dana. And I say, well, that's not going to mutate a fruit fly, but a single atom from Japan will mutate a fruit fly. And so which one is actually going to be bad for you? You try everything eventually with people to see what will work with them.
Right.
And sometimes that will help. But what's going on is, I don't know why, but he is the guy everybody's running to for... the lie, and so they just regurgitate that lie, as you know so well, and then that's what's confusing everybody. I do think, though, that the Queen Charlotte Islands, the people up here, are the people... I think this is where Canada is going to make its stand, so I really have a strong feeling about that.
Well, they either have to make a stand there, or they're going to be all deserted, empty pieces of geography. There won't be anything there at all. Nothing.
But these people are switched on.
Okay, the people are switched on. Wonderful. What are they going to do?
Well, that's the whole point, is they needed someone like me or us to come by and actually get them on that right direction. That's how I feel about it. And so we still got a ways to go. We still got 5 or 6 weeks to go. But at the end of that 5 or 6 weeks, I do have a feeling this is where the push is going to come out of Canada back. I do feel these people are in a position where they can leverage because they're in this unique spot. And so far, they've been able to maintain their lifestyle separate of the rest of Canada, and they're a very unique spot. But they're very laid-back people. What you do here is you put your hand up to anybody that's coming by, and they stop and give you a ride.
Ah.
So that's what I do. Yeah, so I put my hand up, and all kinds of strangers pick me up.
And then they get an ear and a half full, boy.
Yeah, well, they make a mistake. If they don't ask me, but everybody asks you, what are you doing? And everybody's very interested in that. But then they wait for you, and then they bring you back. And
no kidding.
Really,
that's downright human behavior. That's
yeah,
nice.
It is. But it's very unique. And so today was like a hellish day. I went out to the west side of, which is the first trip out there. I made an attempt yesterday just to sound out the passage because it's a very, very long, tight passage, very fast currents coming across, very dangerous to scoot through it. And both of my engines went down on me when I got into the rough waters. Just as I was about 4 nautical miles.
Okay. I have to ask you the obvious question. What the hell do you do then?
What the hell do you do then? It's time to panic at that stage for sure, Jeff. I was lucky enough to get the RPMs enough to get me back. Just barely enough.
So they just putt. And there was a fuel problem.
Tough. Well, no, I don't know. I'm going to have to pull the boat out of the water. There is a service up.
No, you're not away from the boat, so nobody can mess with it and sabotage it, right?
No, I was away from the boat. Yeah, I've been really sick for the last week here, and so I'm into the hotels as much as I can. And that could have been happening to me, but I'll have it in tomorrow into the shop, I hope, and get it on the machine and have a look at it. It's not going to stop me because I'll find another engine.
Are these outboards or one in and one out?
Yeah. No, these are outboards, and they have been working just unbelievably gorgeous right up to this morning when I went down and got on the boat and went out. It was working fine for a little bit on the way out. Didn't know, I wasn't going fast or nothing, I was waiting for the tide to get high enough to shoot through the back door. You have to wait for a high tide to get through the back door.
I see.
And I'm just doing like small steps out into that little world. And the shoreline is naked on the west side. On top of that, it's worse than what was down east on the Queen Charles. At least you found a little tiny bit down there. It was naked out here. But then it all went to hell and in the worst possible place, very dangerous spot, and really truly had me worried. I was ready to abandon the boat at one stage here and get into the small Zodiac and make a run for the shore and start gathering up my... Yeah, no, it was really dangerous.
If you do that, then the big boat maybe goes away.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, that's all you can do, I guess, there's not much I can do.
We don't want you to go away, but that's bad stuff.
That's very, very scary stuff, and you don't expect boat engines to go down on you. That's the idea, and the boat...
Not both of them.
Not both of them at the one time like that. As the first one went down, I had the second one in the water and got her wind up. She started up, but she wouldn't go into gear, but she went into reverse. But it wouldn't go into forward, and so that's not powerful enough to hold you off a rock pile in those big seas that I was up against.
That's pretty damn weird. That could have been 86. That's not good.
Yeah, absolutely. But tomorrow now, I had to do a local interview for an hour and a half when I got back, and so it was surreal to be coming off the ocean and sit there and go through a presentation and just forget about this morning and... It really was. And then I came back to the hotel room and crashed like a rock. And then I was approached. Two people contacted me, wanted to have a quick talk with me. They heard about me. And these were people that had done studies up on this coastline. And they were telling me you can't trust the media at all, blah, blah, blah. But what they were doing, one of them in particular, was trying to imply that it was pollution from tourist boats and everything else that was causing the damage. And I said, what, along the entire coastline of British Columbia? And so that was a really interesting conversation. You're going to run into some of that stuff. But I managed to at least try to educate them a bit better, and I think I might have, but I don't know about that one. And the other one was, I think, was very legitimate. And the problem is that, that's what we need, is a community to make a stand, more so than me to make, because we're already making a stand. But if we can get a community to actually push back, they got nowhere to hide. They can't come after a community, but they can come
after
me. They can come after you. They can come after Yoshi and Richard Wilcox. I've been subscribed to his emails. He's really finding some really good stories I've noticed in this last 3 and 4 weeks that I've been subscribed to. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
Of course, if anybody's not familiar, he's been on your show a number of times. And
Writes every day.
I'm really impressed. He's really impressive.
He's a scholar, and he really goes after this in a very intelligent way.
Like Yoshi, right?
Yoichi.
I always feel bad because I can't pronounce his name. And every time you say his name, I'm like, my ears almost grow onto the phone where I'm trying to catch how you pronounce it.
Well, his friends call him Yoshi. It's okay.
Right. So. But I always feel that it's better to, if I can learn his name properly.
Yoichi.
Yoichi. And for some reason, my brain goes, oops.
Shimatsu.
A day later. Shimatsu.
Shimatsu. Shimatsu.
Sure. I can't even pronounce something right now. My throat is raw. Just totally raw.
What have you had? A cold?
Yeah, I got a bad flu. Really knocked me down.
Oh, no.
All kinds of antiseptics for my throat and stuff just to be able to talk. And so that's okay, too. That's part of the...
Dana, this is not good. I don't like this. You're sick. Now the engine's both going out. I didn't like that at all.
No, that's not a good feeling, is it?
No.
Really, and I mean, like, really overheating my brain.
I don't know.
No, I don't know either. It's definitely something going on anyway. It's all hitting me at the one time. That definitely could have took me out of the game today, right? That was a very rough, the worst possible spot that could go down. That's boat engine gone down. Yeah.
What are the chances? Come on.
And the other engine is brand new, and it's probably got 20 hours on it.
Yeah.
And so that one you don't expect to go down.
How many horse are these engines?
One is 90 horsepower, four-stroke, and the other one is 9.9 kicker. And everything is set up properly, and everything was set up by me, and I've been using it, regularly for an hour here, 20 minutes there. And so I usually start it up in the morning before I take off, just to make sure it's going to run if I need it. And that's actually, I do that every morning before I take off. I dodge out for 5 or 10 minutes with the little engine. And this morning I didn't do that. This morning, because it's just right across to the Narrows, and then you got to pick your way through all the rock piles to get out that back door. And the flooding tide is just ferocious, and you got nowhere to go. You only got 10 seconds on either side. You got to correct the boat, and then you're going to be
on
the rock
pile. No. This is too scary. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, the point is, when you're in this and doing what I'm doing, you can get complacent, and you can, in the sense of what's around you and the job you're doing every day, and you forget about the other world that is looking at you or doesn't like you or would rather you give it up, because you're caught up in your environment. You're on your toes all day. And then when you get finally stopped at the end of the day, that's your chance to really let your brain come to a stop. And so, normally I would have put that motor in the water and started it up. This morning I didn't. And I don't know if I would have noticed it or not, or if it would have been an issue or not, but for it to have it happen where it happened really makes me suspect that they don't want me to finish the Charlottes. And I can't blame them, because everybody has said, oh, you'll find life, Dana, when you get to the West Coast. That's for sure. You're going to find it. There's no way you're not going to find life. I even hear that from the locals. You'll find it out there, Dana. It'll be there once you get to the outside.
The West Coast of the islands?
Right.
But that's the most dangerous far offshore location.
It is, right. But that's where you would expect to find the most life.
Well, so you would, but not where that's where the radiation comes in. But they don't get it.
That's where you find it. No, exactly. They really, truly don't get it. But that reporter today did get it, wide-eye, every time that I made a statement about what we had found, the lack of what we had found, and was categorically writing it all down, and said, these are things that I've never even heard before. I've never heard anybody talking about that before, Dana. And like I said, all the pictures, not all of them, but the majority of pictures are up at the nuclearproctologist.org for starters, and they can go check it all out and they can really get a handle on it. And I do think, though, I do have that feeling inside of me. See, I shouldn't have, if that those engines had broke down, I wouldn't have made it back for that interview. You know, and so there's so many of these little things come together, and this local newspaper has wrote some good stories and has done some really, like, they mentioned how they stopped drinking rainwater here within 2 weeks.
Well, that's number one, yeah.
Yeah, don't drink your rainwater. They actually reported that, and they went around in the community and told people who were collecting rainwater to cover up the rainwater they had and not to drink it. And cover up that.
I hate to say this, but it's not even fit for irrigating your gardens.
Right. No, it's not. No. No. And I mean, an interesting thing was yesterday I went out at high tide, and that high tide strip is very visible. The ocean comes right up to the rainforest here on the coastline.
Yeah.
And so it's only like a foot, 2 foot at the really highest tides with a full moon. There'll be about like a 2 foot gap there. Now, yesterday there was probably a 4 foot gap there, and you still couldn't see any kind of life whatsoever at that high tide line here, out into the best part of it. That's very telling, because that should be full of the faunas, the floras, the sea anemones, and all kinds of little critters that live in that particular zone. That's a very unique strip along British Columbia that is actually missing. And that was the big thing about getting out here to see, to really say, okay, look, it's actually missing here too, because people won't believe it until you actually show it to them. You actually basically have to go look and get pictures of it and actually show it to people before they'll ultimately believe you. I know that in my soul. And so that's why I do the things I do, because I know that if we don't get that data, you can't have a lucid conversation with anybody. But if you got the data, they ain't got no wiggle room, and they're going to have to pay attention, and they got no way of just disregarding what you say. I do run into people that have read Jay Cullen's work, and they told me radiation is everywhere, routine. And but once I explained to them that that radiation is not going to mutate a fruit fly, but a single atom from Fukushima will, that really changed them. They actually understood
That's very nice to hear. That's good. Well, this obviously, Jay Cullen is major damage control. They're putting a lot of money behind this guy.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, if he went out, now his samples, he just reported to the Haida Gwaii, the former Queen Charlotte's, last week that his latest samples that he received from here at $600 a pop never had any radionuclides in it whatsoever. That got me thinking. Now, if he was to say he found some radionuclides,
that would give him more credibility.
Sample. Not only that, but people would start getting samples and shipping it to him at $600 a pop.
They shouldn't ship anything to him. They've got to find a truly independent lab.
Right. So, but that's what I'm saying. If he wanted to scam, all he's got to do is say he found a few radionuclides, and he would have made millions. So why isn't he, saying he found a few radionuclides? Why does it have to be zero?
Why does it always have to be zero? Well, the answer is self-evident.
He's not worried about the money. He doesn't want the money. Right? So that's really interesting. Because anybody out there, you think they would say, oh, I found one nucleoid or two nucleoids or two atoms or two atomic decays or something like that, and that would be enough to get people to get more samples, and he would make a fortune. I guarantee you can make a fortune, because because there is enough people out there that are looking for somebody to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel with that media today, that if they tell the truth, if they actually do a good story and a proper story and do some research, and they disembowel Jay Cullen right on the spot. Because that's what I done to them today. I mean, I played the clips of Jay Cullen saying he doesn't know of any melted reactors on the ocean, but if there was, then you have to revisit everything he said. So that's a very interesting statement for somebody who's the spokesperson for Canada, who's saying he doesn't know. November 20th, 2013 on CBC, the biggest mainstream media in Canada, that he doesn't know of any nuclear reactors, and that Japan, he implied and was saying that Japan never had the melted reactors, but if they did, it would be very serious indeed.
He didn't say that.
He actually said those words, yeah. That's his words.
Now
CBC took that clip down.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him out last, in 2014, and the story's still there, but they took the clip down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting what we're seeing. It's starting to come together. And he's got to go. So that's the bottom line, is he's gone as far as I'm concerned. When I go back after this trip is over, I'm going to organize the biggest protest they've ever seen in Victoria at the university. I'll contact a lawyer and get all the permits, and I am going to out that man. He is gone.
Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?
Victoria.
Okay.
Victoria, British Columbia, Vancouver Island is Victoria, BC. It's a very unique place, very gorgeous place, and he's got to go. That's the bottom line.
Okay, let's get right back to Dana Durnford. Very much appreciated that he is sitting in for Yochi Shimatsu, whose phone again has been cut off in Thailand this time. We're not able to get him. We've got three different numbers for him, so I don't know. We'll hope to get him on next week. It's all we can do. It's a very evil and dark world out there, unfortunately. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. Okay, now you are gathering more friends, obviously. This news reporter you want to stay in touch with. Have you had the city, Queens, Charlotte, it is?
Yes.
Okay, how many people there? 5,000?
I actually don't know. It's less than 2,000, I think.
Okay.
I can't really be quoted on that one because, like you say, I haven't actually looked at the numbers. Once again, this is the most coveted place in Canada, is Queen Charlotte Islands itself.
Why do you say the most coveted?
Well, because people, this is what they call magic up here. People
yeah.
come here to have a magic experience.
Yeah.
The islands are magic, and there's hot springs all over the place that are, you know,
on the islands. So these are volcanic formations then.
Right, yes, sir. And it's just stunning, beautiful landscape itself.
Yeah.
But it's something that people have gravitated towards. It's a very dangerous place. And I've talked to a lot of there's a lot of sailboats at this wharf. I've managed to talk to a lot of those people.
Uh-huh.
And they had all told me that same thing, where that's why they came here. It's magic. And, I mean, very expensive operations they got there. And to them, it's magic. And everybody agrees this place, there's something about it where people, when you come here, there's a serenity that where you're able to escape the outside, shrug it off, so to speak, for most people. Obviously, I can't. And the idea, once again, was if this is also devastated, how can anybody ignore it? How can there not be some kind of, and we know how that works. They can't ignore it. But the people of this country understand that, I think so, they will understand it, that once they realize that this is devastated too, it's time to do something. It's time to, you know, to end the system that we got and come up with a system, whatever that may be. Like, as a sign of good faith, if the government was to pass out organic seeds, why they came up with an evacuation plan. And I know that sounds bizarre to say that we have to evacuate the coastline in Canada. But we have to move at least 200 miles inshore. And we know that the radio nuclei
okay, now,
are liberated.
Would you, 200 miles inland,
Minimum, yes.
Does that suggest that, are there mountains?
Well,
is there much geography along the coast? And yet you still feel like you need to go 200 miles inland?
Right. And 200 miles inland, the only reason I'm saying that in particular is that's just a sign of good faith to go at least that far, because the ocean liberates the salt.
Uh-huh.
And insects up to 200 miles inland are acclimated to more salt.
Oh, I
lots
see.
Of academic studies about that. And so that would get you away from the Pacific ongoing concentrations.
Mm-hmm.
And because the way the ocean current works, the stuff that's coming over from Japan will get back to Japan in about 20 years, and then it'll get back here in 20 years, and blah, blah, blah. But it circulates here around British Columbia itself, keeps circulating in the Arctic cold water circulation. And so it keeps concentrating, like a stage, and concentrates and scoops up
the stuff that's
coming over. It becomes thicker and thicker. And that's sticking to the shoreline, so nothing can live on the shoreline. And like we were talking about the last interview, the last time we had a chat, was that there was no mollusks on the coastline. And the periwinkles, which is snails, a very visible thing, is all gone. And limpets, which is visible.
And the important tagline to that is that there aren't even any debris laying around from these animals. They've been gone apparently for 2-3 years. They're just gone.
At least at least. That's correct. Thank you. And sometimes I forget to mention that. That's so important. It looked like they got wiped out on the original disposition radioactive fallout from the sky. Because the jet streams, like a lot of people seem to imply that the jet streams are not real in the academic community when it comes to Fukushima.
Come on.
Of course, they do. Geez. And of course, they never take that into the equation. They always say the ocean will bring it over in about 6 to 10 years. But the ocean current travels at 5 miles per hour.
It's some of it travels at 10 knots an hour. Now, I don't know how that equates to miles an hour, but it's
And so even at 5 miles an hour, though, it gets here in 45 days.
Oh, correct.
That's not counting the clouds.
That's right. That's the North Pacific current that where the primary vectoring and the velocity occurs in that current.
Yes, sir. Good stuff. And that comes straight over, and it doesn't stop coming straight over. That's the prevailing
current.
It
never stops.
Jet streams. Right. And that's why they don't see nothing so much over there in one context is that it gets whisked right off the coastline from Japan and out into the Pacific currents and straight across to North America.
Right.
And California, of course, gets devastated constantly because that is...
And boy, nobody talks about it there. Nobody. We've got 30... What was the last story? Let me see if I can find it.
Sure.
Hundreds. Oh, okay. 35,000 sea lions and their pups washing up on shore. Hundreds of sea lions wash ashore on California. Hundreds of California starving sea lions. The stories are endless. They figure 35,000 are dead.
On one island. On one island. 10,000 dead baby sea lions on one California island. That's unbelievable. That's inconceivable. Nobody's ever even heard tell of something like that before. If that doesn't...
No, and they say... Unprecedented, shocking die-off. Scientists puzzled. Scientists, it's a mystery. It's no mystery. No one's puzzled. Come on. When they speak amongst themselves, they just must go, come on. They got to know.
They can't get away with it much longer. I guarantee you. It's going to come back in their faces, is all I'm saying, right? Yes, they can get away with it, but... The ones that are lying, this is going to come back in their faces. This is the year it's all going to get up in their faces. There's no doubt about it. I'm feeling it in all the media I'm reading. I'm hearing it in all the interviews I hear. And I'm hearing it now. They're starting
I'm
to come
so
out and
sick
say
of
stuff.
It. 4 years of this, Dana.
Yeah.
Four years.
And you have to stop. And so for someone like yourself in particular who really is up in the media and very visible... It got to be extraordinarily frustrating.
Well, it's. I think of. I think of our cancer cases here that are going up all the time, and they're not talking about that. Oh, they're beginning to talk about it. They had to in Japan because so many people are getting cancer. They had to.
Yeah.
And the same thing is going to happen here. Look, it's beautiful to have an ocean view, folks, and the real estate industry is healthy and doing well, but it's going to come a point. When buying real estate property along the beach is going to be very easy. Very easy. So just wait.
Yeah.
If you need to live along the ocean, no problem at all.
They'll give you a loan if you want anything. They'll give it to you, and they'll make sure you can't get out of there. Now, British Columbia has just announced that they're going to create 1 million jobs here in British Columbia. Now, that's extraordinary.
1 million jobs? To do what?
Yeah. Well, who knows? But... They got a government site set up, and go to the site and start your training. And there's 1 million jobs coming in the energy industry, and blah blah blah. Now, what they're up to, right? They're getting people to get invested in careers and stuff like that, and they can't pull out of there, and they're so busy trying to pay back the money.
Oh, of course they're stuck. Well, they're imprisoned. Hold on, Dana. We've got to pause again. You sound good and strong, even if you are sick, and we really appreciate it. Yep. So stand by. We'll come right back. This issue of Fukushima radiation hitting the West Coast, British Columbia, all the way down to Baja, is an enormous one. No one's talking about it. This Kelp Watch 2014 study is going to be obviously a fraud. The results will be skewed, controlled, and contrived, and you can count on that. The information from Japan, still relatively sparse. However, there was a big story that got out in this past week. Mainichi News reported that Fukushima plant still posing risks 4 years after meltdowns. Well, surprise, surprise. The text of the story, problems still occur regularly. We don't hear anything over here about this. Problems still occur regularly at the radiation leaking complex. TEPCO said highly radioactive rainwater has flowed into the Pacific Ocean every time it has rained. Well, what a shock. And the latest revelation of a series of contaminated water leaks, it did not disclose the data for 10 months, by the way. TEPCO's president, Naomi Hirose, said Wednesday that the company could have dealt with the situation differently if we had been able to give consideration to the feeling, quote, the feeling of local fishermen. The number of accidents involving plant workers has increased as the decommissioning work becomes more complex. Over the past year, two workers died at Fukushima Daiichi, while other severe accidents occurred as well, so said the TEPCO president. Whatever they say, multiply it by 10. This is really ridiculous. Here's another one from Japan Times. There have been quite a few accidents and problems at the Fukushima plant in the past year, and we need to face the reality that they are causing anxiety and anger among people in Fukushima. Final quote, there are numerous risks that could cause various accidents and problems. End quote, understatement of the decade. This is not a plant undergoing decommissioning. This is a lie. It's a trick of verbiage. It's a plant that has been utterly destroyed. What they're trying to do is pick up the debris, shut off the primary leaks of radioactive water, and somehow try to someday, decades and decades away, figure out a method by which they can reclaim and neutralize, or at least encapsulate, the melted radioactive cores. Now, that said, what else do we have there, folks? You know the answer. We have spent fuel pools where all the fuel assemblies from plants 1, 2, and 3 are stored 5 stories off the ground. They can't get workers near buildings 1, 2, or 3 to even assess the damage because of the deadly radiation that's pouring out of there. They can't do it. So these problems, there's nothing even in sight to give us hope that they can be successful with any kind of what they like to call decommissioning. It's simply not going to happen. Nobody understands this, Dana, that this plant is destroyed, it is wrecked, it is not going to stop emitting radiation during the lifetimes of our great-grandchildren. Right. And how much can the Pacific Coast take? If you're 200 miles inland, 150 to 200 miles, you think you're probably pretty good, because we know the jet goes up and over through BC and then down through Idaho, comes down the Midwest. There really is no safe place in the U.S.
No.
Or Canada.
Yeah, 200 miles is just getting off the ocean, that's all.
Got it.
That's what that was about, right? It was getting away from the ocean itself.
Yeah.
That's a start. You're still going to be in a radiated environment. All your food is still going to be radiated. All your water is still going to be radiated. You can't escape that, no matter how hard you try.
No.
Now, icebergs that are hundreds of thousands of years old got some good water left in it, but that's about it. Everything else is going to be radiated. And the water that comes out of your tap is unstructured water, and it has chemicals added to it. But the stuff out of the rivers is going to be radiated. The stuff
no, forget it. Look, if you have a garden and you water with rainwater or other surface water, you better be doing very serious Geiger counter work on that water. If you have a well and a greenhouse, you're lucky. That's really the goal everyone should opt out for, if possible. A greenhouse and a well. That way you can get water that's a couple hundred, 300 feet down and is safe.
Can we try, I got a 20-second clip here of Jay Cullen talking about...
Oh, please. Yeah, I'd love to hear this guy.
Let's see if we can get that to work. I'll give it a try here. Here we go.
But if there were a complete meltdown, I mean, a worst-case scenario, has there been any modeling done on what sort of radiation levels we would be likely to see in the Pacific, both near Japan and here, if that worst-case scenario were to transpire?
Well, I think if you talk about an event of that scale, the only sort of point of comparison...
Okay, just one more...
Well, I'm not aware of any meltdowns right next to oceans.
What did he say? I'm not aware of any meltdowns near any oceans?
Right. That was on CBC Radio talking to Canadians, the biggest broadcaster in Canada.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. November the 20th, 2013, and CBC pulled that clip. That's gone now, but the story is still there.
Well, I'm not surprised. That's one of the biggest bald-faced lies I've ever heard. That's amazing.
It is, and I got one more here. We'll just try this one.
I don't feel I can really comment in any meaningful way about what it would mean for us here, except that it would be a very serious situation to find ourselves in. I don't feel like...
So he's talking about if there was an ultra reactors in Japan, it would be a very serious scenario to be in, right?
Yeah.
But he don't feel like he can talk about it meaningful. Yet he is the spokesperson that's the only people, Vancouver Sun, all the major media throughout, all the radio shows throughout British Columbia and Canada, refer to this guy. But yet Canada has all kinds of nuclear scientists. And it's very curious thing of why the journalists don't contact a nuclear scientist and why they go talk to a marine chemist who doesn't have a single paper on the actual man-made radiation. But
unbelievable.
He did discover one of the 260 emitters that are harmless natural emitters on this planet, and that's used to, it's like potato chips, where it gets used to marginalize what's really going on. I felt that people needed to hear it themselves because I was talking about it earlier.
No, that was wonderful. That was very informative.
Yeah.
Very informative.
Yeah, Dr. Jay Cullen.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's a chemist, folks, not a nuclear physicist. Understand.
So why is he the spokesperson for Canadians? The real question, and why is he lying the way he's lying, and why is he the guy that...
Man, that clip ought to be played on a loudspeaker wherever you can get near that guy.
Right, and so that's we're going to play that down at the University of Victoria when I finally get back. We're going
Good.
To just pass that out to everybody on CDs and everything else, everybody coming to that campus. And I guarantee you, his career is done in Canada. It's over. That's the end of it. And I'm going to try to get him prosecuted, and I'm certainly going to prosecute him in the public sphere.
Beyond criminal.
Yeah, he has to go. And I think that is... Then everybody says, who refers to him again, then people have to say, well, he just got, booted out of the college because he's a lying, fabricating, and they can't go down that road so readily anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that is a good venue. They're not leaving us any venues to go after him with. We don't have any. They don't approach me to get another side of the story. They don't approach you to get another side of the story or anybody else.
Well, no, they don't.
Take his word.
That's right.
And puke it back up.
Yep.
And so that's really disappointing.
Well, that's what they're told to do. They are ordered, instructed to do that. Five corporations own 95-96% of the media, and it's very simple to do. That's
Conrad Black just bought the local media here, I heard.
He bought it all up?
I wonder
if there might be a reason for that. Interesting.
He's one of the globalists, and we know he went to jail a couple of years ago.
I remember that. He's back out and back in business, huh?
Right, and he's back, and he's at it again. And I can't imagine he's willing to go to jail again. And so that's an interesting thing. That's what we need. Is we need a mass of people. We just need people to get back in his face and call up that institution and demand to get rid of him. And if you had a few hundred people in a span of a week, call up the institution and say, "Hey, we don't want that guy in our institution anymore. He's lying about it." And blah, 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 that could change the game because these institutions are cowards and they can't handle head-on criticism. They can't handle blowback. And that's what they do. They throw these people away. They'll throw him to the dogs. They don't care about
him. They'll unplug him and screw somebody else in the socket.
And he won't rat them out, right? He won't come out and say, well, they made me tell
him.
Oh, no.
He don't want to die young.
Right. And I don't have no fear of dying. And so I'm willing to take this as far as it has to go, no matter what it takes. I don't have that fear. And I understand that somebody out there has to really, truly put their everything down on the plate and be willing to go that way, or you can never get anywhere with these people.
You
not
never
willing
will. No.
To be locked up in a little tiny box for the rest of your life and have people poke you with a stick and do stupid stuff to you. then you can never win against these people. You have to be willing to take whatever comes your way, and I'm willing to do that. And I take it every day on the ocean. I'm sure it can't be much more miserable than what I put up with every day on that ocean and that little tiny boat that I'm on. And the idea is, once again, if anybody's not familiar with it, is out of the 5,500 very visible species on the coastline of British Columbia, Canada, recognized by all the institutions, I can only find less than 100 throughout the entire coastline when you add them all up, and none of them are healthy. And out of 600 algaes, I'm finding 22 algaes.
Wow.
And this is all in a four-year period.
Well,
really, truly needs to
tune in another couple of years, and you can cut your findings probably by three quarters. There won't be anything left.
There will be nothing left in a year. That's for sure.
Over 30 million people permanently affected by Fukushima radiation in Japan now. Over 30 million permanently affected. Wow. The number of people exposed to the Fukushima disaster triples those exposed and damaged by the Chernobyl disaster. 14,000 square kilometers heavily contaminated now in Japan. Heavily.
Finally.
Yeah. Yep, finally. All right, my friend, you get some rest. Thank you, Dana. It's just great to talk to you. Be careful, will you, for God's sakes, to do you. I know you are, but...
I'll show you your loved ones, my friend. You know,
all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
We almost lost Dana today. You heard him. Man does not exaggerate either. He understates everything in terms of his own risks. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night. Take care.